morning to Groffdale. It's a pleasure to be here as God's people. Thank you for Lloyd and Rick and worship team and children's time. And, the scripture says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so I think this morning, as we have been worshiping God, as we have been praising him in the declaration of who he is and also in the declaration of who we are as his people, that he is praised and he is honored, and in that he is present here this morning. We come to the fourth Sunday in Lent, this season before Easter, and as I've been preparing this sermon, I just want to put a disclaimer out here that I have not mastered this. You guys probably already knew that, but the sermon that I felt the Lord giving me for this morning was something that he's speaking into my own life, and so this is something that I'm growing in. Something that I'm learning in, and something that I feel that he's been speaking to me and felt that I was to share it with the congregation this morning. So we come to this season of Lent, which growing up, I don't know that I had much kind of exposure or experience to Lent as the calendar year of the church. And so I've been learning a lot over the past few years, and Lent is this time of preparation before Easter. It's this season before the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, where we prepare ourselves for that celebration. And it's Lent has these kind of physical actions or behaviors as part of it, these practices that allude to or point to these spiritual principles or these spiritual disciplines. One of these physical behaviors or habits during the season of Lent is fasting. Where people may, during the season of Lent, give up a certain food item. They may give up entertainment. They may, they may fast these different things. Is anybody fasting anything for the season of Lent? Right, a few. But this is a practice during the season of Lent, where we give up something. And again, like I said, it is a physical behavior or habit that points to or alludes to a spiritual principle. So within the physical habit of fasting, there is this kind of self-denial, this denial of self, which is the call of the Christian in our life. Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I read an article by John Piper that suggests that the self-denial and the self-sacrifice that we sometimes live out during the season of Lent is more indicative of the whole year, how we should be living as Christians. This mindset of denying ourselves and choosing to pursue after Jesus. Also, in the denial of fasting, of abstaining from something, is the way that we correlate the denial of our fleshly desires. We have these sinful desires, and as we abstain from a certain food or from, something else during the period of Lent, we recognize that we also need to abstain from certain habits, certain sinful ways in life. That our sinful flesh is craving something in the same way that our physical flesh may be craving something, and we deny that. In Galatians, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, don't gratify the flesh. For the flesh, the sinful nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict, but you are led by the Spirit. So this fasting is a self-denial, kind of this denial of self, take up your cross, follow Jesus. It's also a denying of the fleshly desires. But for the early Christians, Lent was not a dreary season of self-torture and oppression and self-discipline. It was an opportunity to return to the normal Christian life. A life where dependence on God was heightened over dependence on material things. It was an opportunity to recognize that God is the provision, and this material stuff, including food, is secondary. And it was a way to return to that, to return to the normal life for the Christian. I think before we go farther, I'm just going to pray this morning. God, we give this morning to you. God, we thank you for this season of Lent, these habits that point to spiritual principles, spiritual practices. God, we know you are here this morning. God, we have lifted up your name. We have welcomed you here. God, each one of us, as sons and daughters of you, are temples of your Spirit. So we know, God, that you are present here among us. And God, we invite you to move. We invite you to teach us. We invite you to speak to us. God, I thank you for the way that you have been working in each of our lives. God, I pray that you would continue to work in us. Amen. The other aspect of this fasting that points to a spiritual principle is this idea of our spiritual hunger. You know, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. And so through the practice of fasting, we're recognizing that our dependence on food is not our greatest dependence, but that we have a greater dependence on God, and we have this craving and this hunger for spiritual food. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, Moses is recounting when they came out of Egypt and the Lord gave them food, just like we read out of Exodus. And it said, God gifted the Israelites with hunger. Then he provided manna for them to teach them to rely on him. So in this process of Lent, if we are giving up something, if we are fasting from something, we are teaching ourselves to rely on God for provision. You know, fasting in association with our spiritual hunger is a reprioritization, where we set priority on the spiritual food that God desires to give us. There's a quote out of a book called Soul Feast, which talks about the feeding of the soul. And it says, food is necessary for life, but we have made it more necessary than God. How often we neglected to remember God's presence when we would never consider neglecting to eat. Fasting brings us face to face with how we put the material world ahead of its spiritual source. So this is just one of the practices of Lent that point to these spiritual principles. First, the self-denial, denial of self, denial of sin in pursuing Jesus, and also this idea of our physical hunger in comparison to our spiritual hunger and prioritizing our spiritual hunger. And this morning, we're going to take a look at that spiritual hunger that we have. That each of us is filled with this hunger, this thirst for fulfillment, for life. And each of us have this within us, and we may recognize it in ways, and there may be ways that it is in our life that we don't even recognize. In Isaiah 55, God invites us. He says, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? So all of us have this hungering, this desiring. And yet, unfortunately, like Isaiah 55, sometimes we pursue after things that don't satisfy. You know, it may be just kind of busyness, or maybe it's work, or getting really involved with family or entertainment, or we pursue these other things to fill this craving that we all have, but it is like bread that does not satisfy. It's like laboring for food that doesn't fulfill our need. And so we fill our lives with these other things. And St. Augustine said, God is trying to give us good things, but our hands are too full. And not only our hands, but also our hearts, our minds, our attention. The spaces within us are filled up, spaces where grace might flow. So sometimes we fill our life in response to this craving with these other things trying to fill us, to satisfy us. But maybe in trying to satisfy this craving, this hunger that we all have, we pursue spiritual practices. You know, maybe we get really involved with, you know, the spiritual practice of reading your Bible every day. Or maybe it's, you know, we're really dedicated to prayer. Or maybe it's fasting. Or maybe it's these other spiritual practices, which are good things. But even in those, we can miss out on Jesus, which is the purpose of all this. You know, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you're going to find eternal life. But you miss the fact that the scriptures are talking about me. I am the source of life. So even in these spiritual practices, we can try to fulfill this hunger that we have, but if we miss out on Jesus, it's working for bread that does not satisfy. I want to invite you to turn with me to John 6 this morning. In John 6, Jesus tells those following him something that may remind us of what was read out of Isaiah 55. In John 6, verse 27, he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Again, this principle of, you know, we have this hunger, but work for something that satisfies. Pursue what satisfies. And this was in the context of Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He just provided food. And so people were following him, and Jesus says, okay, the real reason you come after me is because you saw me give you food and you want more food. And in the context of that, he says, don't work for food that satisfies, but come to me. And he follows up in the rest of the chapter by talking about how he is the bread of life. That whoever comes to him will never go hungry. This is in verse 35. And whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. Jesus is the source of this spiritual food that will satisfy this hunger and this craving that we have. In the next chapter, in chapter 7, Jesus goes to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a celebration, this festival that the Israelites had. And it's a long festival. And at the end of the festival, the very last day, they're gathered in the temple. And it's the greatest day of the festival. It's the greatest day of the celebration. And Jesus, on the last day, in the middle of the temple, stands up and says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So we have this hunger. We have this spiritual hunger to be fed. And we recognize that Jesus is the source. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. That when we come to him, we will never hunger or thirst again. So he is the source. But here's where the rubber hits the road. If our hunger and thirst for righteousness, if our hunger and thirst for Jesus, if our hunger and thirst for spiritual nutrition is only satisfied once a week, we will quickly waste away in our spiritual health. If our hunger and thirst for Jesus, if our hunger and thirst for spiritual food is only satisfied once a week, we will quickly deteriorate in our spiritual health. As we read this morning in Exodus, as the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, they became hungry. They became hangry. Hangry is when you're hungry and angry. They became hangry. They were hungry. They were upset. And they started to complain and grumble. They weren't being fed. They weren't being satisfied. They had this craving and it wasn't being satisfied. So they cried out for provision. And God answered. God provided manna for them. He provided food for them, but he provided it very specifically and with instructions. He said, look, I'm going to provide this for you, but you're not supposed to gather up, you're not supposed to stock up on a month's worth of manna. Not even a week's worth, or you're not even supposed to gather enough for the next few days. You're supposed to gather enough for today. That I've given you enough for today, and when tomorrow comes, I will have new, fresh food for you. But the food I have for you for today is for today, and the food that I have for you for tomorrow is for tomorrow. That there is a daily provision that God gives us. And then he also gave special instructions so that the day before the Sabbath, they could gather twice as much. That way they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. And this could be a whole other sermon. This is just kind of a side note. But I think it's interesting that the day before their restful day of worship and gathering together as a community, they were given this extra provision, which made their restful day more restful and satisfying? Are there ways that maybe Saturday evening or Sunday morning you gather more from the Lord so that when we gather together corporately, our time is more satisfying and fulfilling? Are there ways that you prepare yourself the day before, in the same way that the Israelites would prepare themselves the day before the Sabbath, so that what God was to provide for them on the Sabbath day was to be even more fulfilling and resting? Again, that's a side note. That's not even where we're going this morning. But so in the way that God provided for the Israelites, they became dependent on Him for daily provision to meet their current hunger. In a similar way, God desires for us to become daily dependent upon Him for provision each day for our spiritual hunger. Not that a sermon can't still speak to you on Monday and Tuesday. Not that you won't have a time of reading God's word that will carry with you through the rest of the week. Not that you may have an encounter with the Lord where He speaks something to you that this word of God you carry with you through the next year. But that each and every day we are to be pursuing the Lord to fulfill this craving, this hunger, this spiritual need that we have. That we cannot get along by just being fed once a week. We will not sustain ourselves spiritually if we're only fed a few times a week, but it is a daily pursuing after the Lord for His provision. You know, Scripture says His mercies are new every morning. Not that His mercies are new just on Sunday morning when we gather together. Not that His mercies are new just on, you know, another evening of the week where you may get together with your small group. But that every morning, every day, God has food for us. And we need to be pursuing Him every single day. When I was a baby, I didn't have to work for my food. I don't remember this, but when I was a baby, my food was brought to me. It was prepared for me. I didn't even have to chew my own food. It was like mushed up for me. It's pretty much, they gave it to me, I swallowed it. That was it. When I got a little older, I have some nieces and nephews who are this age. They have a little bit more responsibility over it. Not that they help prepare the food. They're like 2 years old, almost three. But they can now drink out of their own cup. They can now chew some of their own food. There's a little bit more work that goes into it. Even older than that, there's a little bit more responsibility on preparing your own food. You know, maybe, you know, I have to cut my own food into bite-sized pieces. You know, maybe it's, you know, making a sandwich for myself. Or maybe it's serving myself out of the big dish in the middle and putting it on my plate. But there's a little bit more work and responsibility that I have to put in. Even when I was older yet, there was even more responsibility. You know, maybe I'd get home from soccer practice after school and the rest of the family had eaten, so it was my responsibility to find food that was in the house and get it ready for me to eat, where I had a responsibility in preparing my food. Or even older yet, when I got a job, I'd wake up in the morning to go to my job, and if I didn't get breakfast, it was my own fault because I was responsible for feeding myself. I think, again, this parallels with our spiritual hunger. That maybe as a spiritual child coming new to the faith, your food was prepared for you. Maybe it was through, you know, coming to church on Sunday, through Sunday school, through the sermons, through mentors, through listening to podcasts, through these, you know, other ways where food was kind of brought to you. But as you grow up in the faith, we have a little bit more responsibility of getting our own food. Now I want to be clear. Not that we need to like run after in a hard way that God is trying to hide this spiritual nutrition from us. God is a good Father who gives us this nutrition. But some of this responsibility is on us to pursue this. As we grow up as Christians, we need to take responsibility for the daily pursuit of spiritual nutrition. In essence, we need to learn to feed ourselves. So, first of all, being fed once a week is not sustainable. We need to rely on God's provision daily. You know, the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. That we need to rely on God for a daily provision. And if we're not being fed enough, we can't blame someone else. Where we need to take responsibility for our spiritual intake. And I think, and maybe this is just kind of my worldview or kind of where I'm at, but I think these are the two biggest things that stand in the way of this, the two biggest things that stand in the way of our spiritual growth or our spiritual health in regards to our spiritual nutrition are inconvenience and lack of hunger. Inconvenience and lack of hunger are maybe the two biggest things that stand in the way of this. You know, fast food is convenient. It's easy. You don't have to prepare anything. You stop there. You pay your money. They give you food. It's pretty quick. Depending where you go, it's relatively cheap. It's fast. It's convenient. But it's not healthy. If we are to pursue a healthy spiritual diet, it won't always be convenient. It won't always be easy. When I started my job at the warehouse down the street here, I was doing a lot of physical labor. I would show up in the morning, I would unload 3 tractor trailer trucks by hand, picking up boxes. Every once in a while I'd do the math and it'd come out to some huge amount of pounds I was moving every day, but I was exhausted. So I would get done around noon or 1 o'clock and I'd come home and I'd be so exhausted that I didn't want to put in the work to get food ready for me. So I would like have sleep for lunch. Like, this is a terrible habit, but I would come home so exhausted, so in need of this nutrition, but it wasn't convenient. It wasn't prepared for me. And instead of putting in the work, even if it was just a little bit of work to get me food, I would take like a 15-minute nap for lunch, and that was my lunch. Not healthy. You know, it requires effort to feed ourselves properly. It's going to require discipline and effort, a daily dedication to chase after this food, to pursue God. Maybe it's digging into your Bible. Maybe it's times of prayer. Maybe it's fellowship, but it requires effort. It's going to take time out of your day, time out of your week. And the convenience or the inconvenience is one of the things that holds us back from this. I think the second thing that stands in the way of this is this lack of hunger. And we need to cultivate our hunger. In the physical realm, we eat and we become full. In the spiritual realm, we eat and we become more hungry. That when we chase after God, when we take Jesus as the bread of life, the living water, it cultivates and stokes our hunger. That the more we eat, the more hungry and passionate we become. And sometimes this takes dedication when we don't feel like it. Like me getting home from work. I didn't feel like eating. I was tired. I was exhausted. But I came to a place where I realized this is not healthy. This is not sustainable. So what I need to do is, even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to make a choice to say, I need food. And even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to pursue food. And in the same way, in our spiritual life, we may not feel hungry. We may not feel passionate about, you know, setting time aside to chase after God and fulfill our spiritual needs. But we can make this choice to say, but I know I need it. I know not being fed spiritually is not sustainable. So I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a decision, even if I don't feel like it, to eat. And as we do that, as we set up disciplines in our life that say, I may not feel like it all the time, but I'm going to choose to pursue God, we are cultivating our hunger for Him. And where we make those decisions, our feelings will follow. And we cultivate this hunger and this thirst for God. In some of Jesus' earlier teachings, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. God, we ask this morning, God, that we would recognize our spiritual hunger for you. We'd recognize this craving, this need that each of us have. And God, I pray that we wouldn't think we can just satisfy it on a Sunday morning, or we can just satisfy it once a week, but God, that we would cry out to you for daily provision. God, we confess that sometimes it takes work and energy and time out of our week, but God, help us to pursue you. God, we need to be fed by you. God, thank you for your provision that you freely give us. The way that you provide for us each and every day. Your mercies are new every morning for us, Lord. God, I pray that we will learn to feed ourselves, that we wouldn't just rely on what the pastor says. We wouldn't just rely on what the writer of the Sunday school lesson says. But God, that we would dig into your word, your truth. We would pursue after you, God. God, we thank you again for your provision. We thank you that you desire to see us well-fed spiritually. There's no question about it. And God, I pray that in the midst of feelings that may not go along with this, God, that we would decide to pursue you. And that in doing so, we would cultivate our hunger and our thirst for you. In Jesus' name, amen.